if you will, tonight, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 9. The book of Psalms, chapter 9. Maybe it's what the Lord wants tonight. I had two messages, but the Lord wants me to. This one right here, it's been a long time since I've used this message. A long time. I don't know if I will use it here or not. But here in the book of the Psalm, the psalmist David, with his writings here, we can see where the praise of God was, and we can see where David was rejoicing, and we can also see where the judging of the individuals was being judged there also. We see where the people was perished. And all of this was that where the Lord, this is something that he had to do. And so seeing some things that he has to do today that we don't understand why he even does it. But he does it because he loves us. Just like the psalmist David. He led David to go through trials and tribulations. He allowed David to face things that he had never faced before. But the reason he done it to make David stronger. Because he knew David was going to be facing some things later on that he was going to have to be strong. And we got some things that we're going to face. We got some things that we may face this week. We don't know what they are. But right at the moment, the Lord may see that when we do face them this week, we may be weak. We may be weak when we face it. But he will make us strong. He will make us strong and steadfast and unmovable to the point that we can go past the obstacle that we're going to have to face this week. And I believe everybody is going to face some kind of obstacle in their life every week. I believe that. I face them and you face them. We have no idea what they are. But see, that's where Satan, he comes in at. And that's where the Lord knows where, that's exactly where Satan comes in. Because see, Satan, he grabs a hold to the weakest point in our life. When we're heartbroken or whatever, he will attack us. And when he attacks us, he will do everything that he can to destroy us. To destroy not my life, but destroy my testimony. Because you know, you can destroy your testimony with one thing that each one of us have, and that is the tongue. And it don't take but 30 seconds to destroy your complete testimony that it took you years to build up your faith in and have the testimony that where people could look to you and people could hear you and they could trust you. But just because Satan, he will grab us at the weakest point. It may be sickness. It may be death of a family member or a close friend. It could be a job. It could be anyone that where the Lord can take and use that to destroy our testimony. And see if it, and not the Lord, but the Satan. Satan will use anything he can to destroy our testimony. And if Satan can get a hold of our testimony, he's done exactly what he intended to do. Ever since he was thrown out of heaven, he's done exactly what his intention was. Is to destroy us. See, that's what he was trying to do with God. He was trying to destroy God's testimony there in heaven, but he could not do it because God had more power. But we can come to the fact in knowing that we have the Word of God close to us. We can have it close to our hearts. Whereas though it says over in 119 and verse 15, I think, or verse 11 or somewhere like that, where we can, where it says we must hide thy word in our heart, that we will not sin against God. That we have the word of God hidden in our heart. You don't have to have all 66 books hidden there in our heart. We don't have to have so many verses. All we need to remember, and we can hide this in our heart, is what he shed at Calvary. And that was his precious blood. And then we can go through anything the devil has. But we must always remember that if it wasn't for the blood, we could not even get to Jesus. If it wasn't for the blood. So tonight, I want to spend just a few moments tonight here in Psalms chapter 9. In verse 1 it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out thy name forever. Oh, thy enemy, destruction, are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Thy memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people of uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put thy trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seeks thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisitions for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my troubles, which thou that lifteth me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, and I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathens are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hide, in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth the wicked, is snared in the work of his own hand. Again, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectations of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathens be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be put to be but men. Up there in, verse 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in a time of trouble. And they that know thy name will be put their trust in thee. For thy Lord hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is the one that we can go to. He is the one that we can go to, and we can know that we're going to get the right answer. And we know that he's going to help us with the problems that we have before us. Yes, we all have problems. Some of them are problems that we don't dwell on that much, because the problems are not that big, but they're still problems. But if we allow them problems to go by the wayside, or if we allow that problem to get bigger than what it is at the time, then we're going to eventually have a bigger problem. We're going to eventually have problems that we'll never be able to take care of. And sometimes the Lord wants us to take care of the problems that we have. Sometimes the Lord will give us the answer to the problem. But some things we don't have to pray about, that there's a problem. The first one is that we don't have to pray about being a blessing to someone else, because God commands it for us to be a blessing to one another. God, we don't have to go to God and ask God, say, God, would you help me this week, the rest of this week? Would you speak to my heart all week? That, well, when Wednesday night gets here, that I won't have to work, or if I don't work, that I'll be in your house. And next Sunday morning for Sunday school and preaching, and Sunday night, that I'll be in your house. No, that's not something that a Christian needs to pray about, because that's one of God's commandments. It's left for us to be faithful to Him. Be faithful to His Word. And everything in here, it's not an answer that we could not go to and find. Any question that anybody has and they want to answer to it, you can find it right here between these chapters. It may not say the exact same thing what we want an answer to, but the answer is there. And we must seek God and ask Him for the answer. And He will give it to us. But it's right here. But we have to read. We have to get in here and meditate on His precious Word. What is meditation? Meditation to the soul, to the inward man, is like the digestive system to the body. Without the digestive system, we cannot go on. Because we are not going to go on for that much longer. If our digestive system within our body goes haywire, or whatever you want to put it there, eventually death will come. Because it cannot sustain without food. It cannot sustain without water, fluid. We must have both. We must have food for the outer man to give us strength, to minister to our health. We must be able to take of the water that can quench the thirst that we have. Just like right now, my mouth is so dry because of some pills that I'm taking. I have no idea. I ain't figured out which pill it was or that I hadn't taken, but it dries my mouth out to where my tongue sticks to the top of my mouth. That's the reason I have water up here, so I can put a little quench to it, where I can have a little water there. And when I take of that water, my mouth is not dry anymore. Not for right now. But you know, as long as we have problems, if we're looking for problems that we're going to face this week, we cannot concentrate really on what God wants us to do. Because see, we're all human. And the heart that we have has been transplanted by the Lord Jesus Christ. But our minds don't have the same thoughts. It don't have the same ideas that God has. See, our thoughts are not His thoughts. My words are not His words. His words is His words. And His thoughts are His thoughts. That's the reason I must get in here and I must meditate. I must meditate on the things of God. I must meditate on Him. I must meditate on what He wants me to do. And I must meditate and say, Lord, with Your help, I'm going to go forward this week and I'm going to try my very best to do what You want me to do, what You've asked me to do. But without Your help, I can do nothing. And we can't. I can do nothing. I can't even stand here. Matter of fact, I don't even have the strength to even speak. It's only by Him. It's only by the grace of God. And that grace was sufficient enough for me, for you, and He never runs out of grace. I've had people ask me, said, well, preacher, you know, I've heard other preachers say that God will give you dying grace. I said, yes, He will. But if you're not in that situation right then, you don't have the dying grace right now. You'll have the dying grace when you face what you're going to face. You will have the grace to face whatever problem that you're going to have to face. Because He has enough grace for everyone. He has enough grace for all. He never runs out of grace. The reason He don't run out of grace is because God Himself and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the three in one, they're everywhere. They're all knowing. All knowing. They know everything. They're everywhere. They can do more things than what we can even concentrate on. Why? Because He's God. That's the way God has ordained the things that we must take and we must cherish so closely. You know yourself, the Word of God, from the very first verse in the Bible, was ordained of God. It was ordained of God never to be changed. Because after He had the 66 books here written by over 50 different individuals down through time that they wrote, and they penned these words down for us, for the English-speaking people, and even for the other languages I hear, that they can understand in their own language. After God allowed 66 books here for us just to have a little nibble at, because this is not all His Word. He said His Word is settled there, hasn't it? It says in the book of Revelation, it says this world cannot contain the Word of God. This world cannot contain the thoughts of God. So He condensed it down to where we could just get a little grasp, get a little taste of what heaven is. Get a little taste of the kind of life that He will allow us to live. He wants us to live it with complete joy. He wants us to live with complete happiness. He don't want us to be miserable. He don't want us going around looking down on people and looking around and saying, oh me, oh my, I can't do this, I can't do that. We can't do it, you're right. I can't do it, you can't do it, but God can through us. We have to provide Him the vessel to where He can use to do His work. Because see, God's not going to do it. He's not going to do it if He don't have individuals to do it. Because see, He's not here on earth. That's the reason He sent His Son. That's the reason Jesus Christ came to earth, to where He would be praised. And He would be lifted up, and all the joy, and people could sing about Him. People could look to Him for everything. That's the reason Jesus came to earth. He came to earth to train men. He came to earth to teach men the things of God. You'll never find it nowhere in God's Word. It says that Jesus says, my will be done, No, it's always the Father's will. Because considering Jesus Christ, He did not have no will. Only the Father had the will. And we, only will that we have is what the Father has for us. And we must ask the Father for His will to be done in my life. For His will to be done in your life. For His will to be done in the body of Christ at Faith Baptist Church. For His will to be done in this community. For His will to be done as we go out. Not our will. Because our will cannot go out and do anything for the Lord. Because we don't have the mind. We don't have the strength. We don't have the health. We don't have the capacity to go out and do anything for God. We must do it for His will. We must do it for Him and Him only.
Because see, He is worthy of all the praise. He is worthy of everything that I can give Him. And He's more worthy than anything else I could ever muster up. He is worthy. Why is He worthy?
Because He died for me. That's the reason He's worthy. Why is He worthy? Because He died for you. Why is He worthy? Why is He worthy? He died for the whole world. He died for the whole world. The whole world was put in His hands that day at Calvary. And He died for every living soul.
That was there. And He had also died for the one that wasn't there that's gone on. That at that time that was in paradise. But yet today, no one day, as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary and shed His life, shed His blood for their life, then they would leave there and they would be in presence with God the Father. You know, that's something, right there, to be in His presence.
Just like I was saying a little while ago, I love it when the Holy Spirit sends a little breeze and He smacks me upside this cheek. Then the next thing I know, He turns around, He comes back, and He slaps me up beside this cheek. It don't burn. It don't burn when He pats me on the cheek. It don't burn. It's nothing but a cool breeze. A cool breeze just slaps me upside the face. Cool breeze. I love that. You don't have many people anymore talk about the Holy Spirit. You don't have many preachers that will even preach on the Holy Spirit. You will not even hear the Holy Spirit even mentioned in a whole lot of churches. And the reason why for that is because the preacher knows that if he gets up and says anything at all about the Holy Spirit, that he's thinking the whole time, well, so-and-so like that is going to think that I done went Pentecostal on them. Some of the other people don't think that I done lost my mind and I went crazy. Well, they can call me Pentecostal. They can call me crazy. They can call me anything they want to. But I'm not going to change for them. I'm not going to change for them. God does not want me to change for Him. And He don't want me to change my own life. We must stand up. What's the song? I can't remember all the words and the verses. But we must stand up for Jesus. Who are we going to stand up for? Are we going to stand up for our neighbor? Are we going to stand up
for that sinner right here, or we're going to stand up for Jesus. We need to take a stand for Jesus. Because there's so many people out here that's not taking a stand for Jesus. I want somebody to look at me and see me traveling somewhere and say, well, you know something, there goes that crazy preacher from Danny Faith Baptist Church. And every time you see him, he's up there just hollering and everything from the top of his lungs and everything. And he's just up there preaching about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and he's just preaching along and he's crazy. You know, he's literally crazy. I mean, I believe he's screwed on the wrong nut. I believe he, instead of being on a fine thread, I think he's trying to be screwed on the coarse thread. He's crazy. He ain't got good sense. Hey, I know people like that. I know people that have said the same thing about me. But you know something? It don't make no difference to me. They can say, Donnie, you about as crazy as a Looney Tune. You need to be there in, where is it at? Stubbish. Yeah. You need to be up in a psych center. You need to be in. You need to be somewhere where they can get you away from the people. You need to be up there where they can take and put the straight jacket on you, and then put something over your mouth so you can't say anything anymore. That's what's wrong with the world today. Too many individuals. Too many Christians now. Today is a lie. Satan to put them in a straitjacket. And bam, the mouth together. What did he do to Paul? What did he do to Paul? What did he do to Paul? He took Paul aside and said, what did he do? That Paul was preaching his word. He was preaching God's word. He was standing true to God. Because he knew what he was before. But now he knows what he is now. And he was not going to serve Satan any longer. So what did they do? They bound him up. Him and Silas. But why? Because when they were, I was speaking about the Lord and I here, they was going up down the road just singing about the amazing grace of God. They were singing about, oh, how I love Jesus. And how Jesus loved me. Yes, I know. For what? For his word tells me so. It may not be the right word to go together. But he loved us. He didn't save me, and he didn't love me enough to save me and to ask me to preach and ask me to pastor a church to where I can come up here and I can just preach to the itching ears to what the people want to hear. No, he wants us up here preaching what he can hear. What he can hear. Because, see, it's not my preaching and it's not my words that's drawing that son up to Jesus. It's his words that comes through these lips. And it may be all jumbled up, but he will take it. And he will take your words where it's all jumbled up and all confused and it's got people, what is it? What in the world is he talking about? And the Father will take them words. Take them one by one. Such a man, put them in a sentence. He says, son, I just want to let you know something. That I love you. I love your wife. heaven was created for you. So why don't you just give him? Won't you just give him? And say, yes, Jesus, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. I don't even know what book to even start with in reading in the Bible. I don't know what to ask you for. I don't even know how to pray to ask you to save me. We was all like that one day, but we didn't know. We was going by, sometimes we may be going by what the preacher had said. Remembering, God would bring back the memory of about what the preacher had said during the invitation. That all we have to do is just come, just as we are. We don't have to do no changing. We don't have to do anything at all. We just need to come and trust Jesus and allow Jesus to take complete control over our life, over the situation that we've got ourselves into and we don't know how to get out of. I have known preachers and I've known individuals talk about other individuals that they've been on drugs. They've been on drugs for 10, 15, and 20 years. And every time somebody from the church go by there, or the pastor or evangelist or somebody go by there and talk to them, that I always tell them, says, you know, I'm trying my best right now to give up some things. I don't know if you know anything about me at all, but I'm a drug addict. I've been on drugs for 18 years. I don't know how to come off from them. They say, the preacher or the evangelist says, why don't you allow Jesus to help you come on? Allow Jesus to help you. And Jesus will help you get off of it because Jesus don't want you on them. Because Jesus don't want you to spend all your money on drugs. And where you can't spend no money on your family, on your children, and provide for them food and nourishment and everything. And pay the bills. Instead of you spending it out on drugs, he wants you to spend it on your family. He wants you to be able to save a little money. And he'd love to see you in church. Then I'd hear where the individual would come to church the next Sunday. And before the choir could ever start singing, they couldn't stand it alone. That they had to stand up. They stand up before the individuals in the church. They stand up before the pastor in the church. They stand up before the people. They stand up before God Almighty. And they testify to the fact that they just got saved that week. They saw because someone come. Shared God's word with him. He said, I was a drug addict for almost 20 years. And I still today, I don't know how I'm going to come off of them. You know, you take a drug addict, been on drugs for 20 years, it's going to be mighty hard for him to come off of them. It's going to be mighty hard for him to even come off of them. Even with God's help. But God would help him to come off of him. But see, what we expect, what I expect as a Christian, what I expect as a pastor, this is what I expect. I'm telling you the truth because that's what we all expect. We all expect an individual will come into the house of God
and visit. And we'll go shake the hands and everything and tell them how much we enjoy seeing them. And if there's anything at all that we can ever do for them, just let us know. Then at the end of the service, when the invitation is given, then they will come to an old-fashioned altar. And they will cry out to Jesus. And they will ask Jesus to save their soul. And they would ask Jesus to help them because they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do from here forward. What do I do? That's when the outer man kind of gets in control. I said, well, I'll just see how long they'll come to church. I'll see how long that they'll last. And if they come and if they last in church, if they come week after week, service after service, for 6 months or a year, then maybe it's a good possibility they got saved. No, it's not a good possibility. If they come cried after Jesus, and if they ask Jesus to save their soul, and if they come back to church the next week, or if they come back to church the week after, why did he come to church? Why did he come back to church? Because they got saved. They experienced something that they never experienced no more. But you know what as a pastor, you know what I'm supposed to do? Now I know there's nowhere in no pastor's manual I hear. It's nowhere in a book I hear that tells me what I have to do. I know what I have to do as a pastor. As a pastor, I must call them. I must call and seek them and see, how are you doing? And yes, and I've let a whole lot of people down. I have let a whole lot of people down. And I'm sorry for that. I've asked God to forgive me for it. But I'm supposed to go to them. I'm supposed to call them and see, how you doing this week? Are you still saved? They say, yeah. I said, but you know something? I'm wondering if I am or not. I says, you know, the other day that I was at work, I was trying to do my job and everything, and I was having to move a piece of equipment or a piece of furniture or something, move it over here and everything. And when I started moving it, and I moved it, my hand slipped. And the piece that I was holding, trying to move, I dropped it. Yes, and I dropped it right on my toes. And it hurt. Yes, and I said some unchoice words. I said, here it is, you've been serving the devil for 40 years. But now, you think you're supposed to change everything overnight. It's a brand new process. That's where the church comes in. That's where that they can trust the church. They should be able to trust me to where they can call me and say, Pastor, I'm going through something right now. I don't know what to do. I just want you to pray for me. I want people to have that much confidence in me. Not really all that much confidence in me, but the confidence that I have in the Lord. They can come to me and would not have to worry about me ever saying anything to anybody else.
Because see, if somebody comes to me in confidence, and they say, I want you to pray for me, but please don't say anything to nobody. Just talk to God about it. You know what? They took me. Someone that will not defy the confidence. They depend on me. They depend on me. And not just me. They depend on the members. They depend on the other Christians to help them along life's way.
Because it's not a bed of roses. Now, well, God's word says it's going to be a bed of roses. But he does tell us that we can have the lily of the valley. And we can have the rose of Sharon. But it's not going to be no easy process for us to go through. Because we're going to have some ups and downs. We're going to have some problems. And yes, but when we have the problems, when we have the ups and downs, then we must be like Johnny. And we say, God, here I am once again. And God, I have a problem that I cannot answer. I don't have no way of getting anything for it. So, Lord, here I am once again, asking for thy help. That's all he wants from us. He wants us to ask for his help. And when we asked him for his help, I think really he just bubbles over in joy. I believe he does. I believe he just bubbles over in joy. He said, because they love me. They love me because they know that I can help them, so they come to me. Oh, me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for what words you give me tonight. And Lord, and I pray, Father, that each one of us that's here, that you can use them, use us all together, to where we can speak to people, where we can allow people to come in, and we can show people the friendship that they can receive from us. But most of all, that they can receive a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's you, Lord. Help us, Father, that we may abide by thy will this week. And Father, you bring someone else here in the church the next appointed time. You allow the people here to see some of the work that's going on. And Father, I know there's work going on. I hear about it. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord Jesus, go with us tonight. Give us all a good night's rest. Keep us safe this week, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Whew. Oh, man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Was y'all, Cheryl was asking me after lunch. She says, were all